Welcome to Eternal Darkness of Not So Spotless Mind podcast. There will be spoilers and swearing.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a bonus episode of the Eternal Darkness of Not So Spotless Minds podcast with me, host Matt, and my co-host Kate. How are we doing, Kate?
Good! I've had a stressful day, I'm not going to lie, if I sound terse at any point. It's not you, it's me. But no, I'm good, I'm all right. I'm still like suffering a bit from labyrinthitis. Did I mention that on the last show? I can't remember. Did I?
You mentioned that you'd been ill.
Yeah, the labyrinthitis, for people who don't know, is like an inner ear thing, and it essentially gives you vertigo and nausea. And the two fun things, one, it can kick in at any time, and B, there's no end date. Sometimes it can last a couple of days, sometimes the rest of your life. And so far, I've had it for a month. So,
oh, wowza, that's not good.
Like, you know, what it's like is, you know when you've drunk too much and then you lie down?
And the world spins.
It's like that, plus nausea. It is not fun. It's been getting less. It has been getting less. But if I'm sat, it's fine. Like, so, you know, fried press was fine because I was sat down most of the day. But, like, yeah, when I led down that night, it was not fun. But I had a few drinks, so.
But we had a good day, did we not?
We had a great day. Like,
we did indeed. We did indeed.
Pretty fucking good.
Pretty fucking good.
Should we talk about highlights?
Highlights?
As in, like, highlights of the, like, of, like, not necessarily, like, films and stuff, but just, like, of the day generally.
Boozing.
Boozing.
Boozing is always a highlight.
Yeah, boozing while I'm hard at work networking.
just going to the pub and having drinks and having a laugh. That's the highlight for me.
It's good shit though, isn't it? Like, it's just so nice and everyone's there just like chatting, and it's just such a good vibe.
Yeah, we met loads of people, which is great.
We met some people. We met your crush Zobo with a shotgun.
Hang on a minute, I didn't say she was a crush.
Did you not? Oh, she's my crush.
All right.
No qualm. Like, I hold my hands up completely with that. I don't normally go for ones, but she's hot.
She's a good looking lass.
Tattoos, innit?
Innit.
Thing for tattoos. Nah, she was wicked. She was really nice.
Yeah, from my... Our bloody obsession. I keep saying our bloody obsession.
Yeah, our bloody obsession. And, I like, if people sort of, like, listen regularly, they will have heard Matt talk about that show.
Yeah, it's their extreme podcast.
Yeah, pretty extreme horror. Like, I looked up some of the stuff that they are, like, looking at and things, and I'm looking it up on IMDb, and I'm like... Holy shit. Like, it's like a Troz level shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It is nasty. I'm like,
so, yeah. Zoe and Kelly, yeah, just basically go in deep on some horrible, horrible shit. I'm sorry.
Don't say deep.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. In many ways.
Not a Troz deep.
Oh, no, I can't. I just. So, yeah, so she's. We were chatting and bless her, she was like, oh, you know, we should do a collab, like you should come on the show kind of thing. And I'm all like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, cause obviously. And then I'm like looking into the stuff that like a lot of the stuff that they like look at, and I'm like, oh my God, am I gonna survive? Like,
well, look,
my
sanity's
still intact.
You've managed serving film, you've managed a Troz. It's
yeah.
You know,
to what detriment of my sanity.
Yeah. I know.
But no, it's going to be great fun. That's not going to come up for a little while yet. All of us are pretty busy, but that is in the works, I think. So
yeah.
We've been chatting a bit behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So that's really cool. But no, she was wicked, wasn't she? She was well nice.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice indeed.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
That's
but,
cool.
But yeah, what else? So
one of the films, which we'll talk about obviously in a bit, was by the filmmakers, the Addams Family, not Morticia and Gomez and Wednesday and all that. 1D Addams. And they, if people don't know them, they did, they do a lot of really cool indie horror movies, like The Deep and Dig.
Hellbender.
Yeah. And yeah, they're basically a family of filmmakers. There's like John and Toby, who are the parents, and then they've got Lulu and Zelda, who were their sort of grown-up girls. And they do everything, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, literally everything. Direct and act in their films.
Yeah, they write them. They do them score. They actually are in a band called Hellbender. All the E's are replaced with sixes because why the fuck not? Rock and roll. And been listening. I mean, they always include like their stuff in their films because obviously, why wouldn't you? And like it always has such like an ethereal, gritty kind of vibe. So I've been checking them out a lot on Spotify and fuck, that's so good. It really gives me kind of like early Queens of the Stone Age vibes.
Nice.
And like a bit of almost like I want to say is it Zelda or Lulu who does like the main one of the daughters does, I'm sorry I can't remember which one, but it almost has like a sort of a ghostly vibe to her vocals as well. So if that kind of sounds up your street, check them out on Spotify because they're definitely worth the time. But yeah, anyway, guess who met them? This girl.
Indeed.
And I full fangirled, full fucking fangirled. So they were all perfectly happy to mingle and chat with people. Like they were the most nice, most embracing people. And I go up and like, I kind of loiter around Toby. And,
hi.
Like you joke, but exactly. But no, I didn't even say hi. This is what happened. Oh my God, I loved your film. Spoiler alert. Oh my God, I loved your film. Blah, blah, blah. This is right. Blah, blah, blah. Full on like ADHD blah, blah, blah. At her. And then she just kind of puts out her hand to like shake mine. And she's like, hi, I'm Toby. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, hi, sorry. I'm Kate. Really nice to meet you. Yep. And then like, I met John afterwards. And like for people who are on our Facebook page, they have seen him doing like a little promo for us, like a little kind of soundbite shout out, which is really, really cool. And like, bless him, he had such, as everyone does, had such trouble remembering the name of our show. And he was like mantering it. And I'm so aware of everyone else trying to talk to this guy. And he's just there trying to remember our name. I'm like, say it louder for those at the back. Oh my gosh. Oh my God, check us out on Spotify. Yeah. And like, and he's trying. I'm like, dude, like, seriously, just say Ednism. Like, that's what we do. No, like, we rarely say the full name anymore. We just say Ednism. And he's like, no, I'm doing it properly. Like, he's taking it so damn seriously.
Fair play. Like,
and then he did it and it was so sweet because he was like, he did the name first so that he wouldn't forget it. And then so his like shout out is kind of backwards. He says like Eternal Darkness of Not So Spotless Mind. This is John Adams of, where, you know, like, I love it kind of thing. And he's like, I'm so sorry I did that backwards.
Excellent.
I was like, dude,
hey,
you could
cool.
have said, you could have said our show was shit and I'd still think it was perfect. You know, like.
Very good.
So yeah, he was really cool. And then later I met the director, and you had to go by this point because you're trained.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I got to meet Raymond Wood, who directed one of the films coming up, Faceless After Dark, and the star of that film and the star of a little known movie called Terrifier, Jenna Connell. That is how you pronounce her last name, right? It is, yeah. And again, the nicest fucking people. Like, and she calls me her bathroom bestie because I ran into her in the bathroom before the film. And I was like, oh, I'm about to watch your film. Like a fucking idiot, because as if that's not the only fucking film to come on next. and she's like, yeah, cool. I'll see you in there, fucking idiot. Like, that's not what she said. But in my mind, I'm like, that's definitely what she was thinking. And
I'll see you in there, you fucking idiot.
Like, yeah, no shit, you're seeing it. Anyway. So anyways, I go and like, she again is in the foyer and she's like meeting and greeting everyone and she's like signing shit. And it's like, oh, also I was trying to get him to sign it and I had like no pen on me. So I had to just borrow some randos. And I was like, I'm so unorganized. I'm just, anyway. And like, and she sees me and she's like, bathroom bestie. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just like, I really hope she doesn't listen to this because this is really cringy how like excited I am. And she's so fucking cool. And like, I'm like, oh my God. And like, I'm like, maybe I didn't fuck up so bad. But then I did fuck up so bad because I literally put my foot so heavily in my fucking mouth, because later on I was chatting with her, the director again, and one of the actors, and I didn't recognize one of the actors. I'm so sorry, bro. Like, I'm really trying to place you. I know that you were involved in this film, but I really just, I'm not sure like in what way. And he was like, oh, I'm this guy. And I don't want to say any spoilers, but like, I'm not going to say anything. And but in this one scene, he's tied to a bed. And I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like if you know, if you were naked, then I would definitely recognize you. Oh, And it was just like, why did I say that? That's so inappropriate and weird. And I literally just put my head in my hands and I was like, I'm so sorry. That's such a weird thing to say. I didn't mean it. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'll see you later. And they're like, no, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, really. Like, I'm just going to go and dip my head in cement. It's all good. It's fine. And like,
and if you're naked, I'd recognize you.
Yeah, for fuck's sake, like, honest. And if when anyone gets around to watching that film, you'll understand even more why that was maybe the dumbest thing to fucking say, because we'll get into it, but essentially the theme of that film is like, don't be inappropriate with strangers. dipshit here is just completely inappropriate with strangers. So fun. But no, it was absolutely brilliant to meet those guys, and it just literally like, it just topped off
an excellent day.
An excellent day, yeah. Like, I literally just was pinching myself, like, oh my God, I'm meeting these people. And especially, like, the Addams Family, because I followed their sort of filmography for the last kind of, like, couple of years. Like, I've got Deep You Dig on Blu-ray. That one's also got The Hatred on it, which is a film that did before that, and that's a really fucking amazing film as well. You know, so it was just so fucking cool, like, to run into them.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
I should have not have gone to the pub.
You should not have gone to the pub, but you know, alcohol calls, and I get that. I get that. But
every time,
every fucking time,
even mid film.
Oh yeah. Well, no. Food calls.
It was alcohol for me.
It was definitely food for me. Like, I'd barely eaten that day. I was just like, yeah, nah, I need to eat. But we will get into that. But yeah, no, it was absolutely phenomenal day. And like, everyone was in such good spirits. The films were great. I feel like this actually has been the best set of films that we've seen at a Fright Fest, like in terms of the ratio numbers for hits versus misses.
Yeah.
Like, last year was pretty disastrous. I think it was like one film that we liked.
it was a bit middle of the road last year.
Very mid, or just rubbish. So I can't remember the films that we saw the year before that.
There's a mixed bag this year.
Let's do it. Overall positive, I think. Yeah, let's get in.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Right, cool. First one.
Yes.
First one we had was It Lives Inside.
It Lives Inside. Yeah.
It Lives Inside.
Great title.
I think so. This is directed by Bishal Dutta.
Mm-hmm.
With Megan Suri, Neeru Bajwa, Mahana Krishnan, and Betty Gabriel. Those are the names I got. I'm just using the festival guide, by the way, the Fright Fest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got my IMDb's up.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much everyone. There's like a few other people, but like, don't worry about it. And Bishal Dutta, the director, he also wrote it with Ashish Mehta as well. Okay. Shall I read out the IMDb blurb, or do you want to read out the Fright Fest blurb?
I'll probably do the Fright Fest blurb. So this is a European premiere. And it states, an impressive directorial debut from Bishal Dutta reveals chilling allegories for identity crisis told through a unique diversity lens. Indian-American Samida is at that point where her culture and hanging out as a normal teenager collide. She has supportive parents and a teacher ally, and she's interested in a boy named Russ. But none of this matters when her estranged friend Tamira breaks a jar she claims houses an ancient demon, where the evil force kidnaps Tamira and starts targeting her friends and family. Samida must acknowledge that some legends are true as she tries to end the reign of terror.
Whoa. And this is a Blumhouse production as well.
Was it?
Well, I'm assuming so. On the poster, it says from the producers of Get Out, so I'm assuming.
Oh, okay.
Let me have a look. I don't want to be stating facts if they're not true, because then they're not facts, are they? They're bullshit. So
yeah, gotta be
factful. Where's it? Oh, I'm not used to it on here. Where's the fucking where's it on my, I'm normally on my phone for this shit. Where's, I've got my laptop up today and it's like, ah, here we go, all cast and crew, fucking A. Right, let's have a look at the producers. No, I'm full of shit.
Okay.
Jason Blum is not on there at all. So I don't know. One of the other producers of Get Out.
Never mind.
And then ignore me. But yeah.
Ignored.
Yeah. What did you think of this?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, by the way, none of this is going to have spoilers, everyone.
Yeah, no spoilers at all. For me, this is pretty middle of the road for me. You know, yeah, it was for me, it felt very generic, you know, very generic horror. Mm-hmm. It just followed the same kind of steps that you take. I don't know, what's going to happen? Oh, what's wrong with her? Blah, 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 blah. You know, et cetera, et cetera.
It kind of followed the same sort of thing as you would get from, you know, something paranormal happens and they do an investigation and then there's like, you know, so it's kind of like The Ring or it, you know, it follows or like, but it's very kind of, as you say, very sort of generic. It doesn't pull any of the punches that those movies do.
No, exactly. Yeah, it just kind of, I don't know. It was well done for sure. The effects are pretty decent from what I can remember.
Yeah, the effects were really good. The creature effects as well.
The creature looked really cool.
Fucking awesome.
Really liked that. I thought that was excellent.
That was a real movie highlight for me actually. Out of the day was that I wanted to see more of it. I think that was one of the things we said down the pub afterwards. So like, I wish we had more time with it. And I get maybe a budget thing. It's a directorial debut. You know, which I didn't realise, actually. So I kind of forgive it for some of its mediocrity in that respect. But
The creature was very cool.
The creature was really good.
But mind you, a lot of the time it was kind of hidden away a little bit. Shadows. So you could really see it very well.
The thing is, I don't mind that. But then when you have that reveal shot, stick with it. Do you know what I mean? Because afterwards they sort of went back to the quick cuts, the shadows, there was only really like one. Sorry if you can hear traffic behind me, but I've got the doors, my sort of big balcony doors open because it's fucking boiling.
It's hot here.
So fucking hot right now. It's so hot right now. And it kind of went back to just doing those quick cuts and things, didn't it? And it was like, no, show us more. I want to see more, you know, give it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we also had a bit of an issue with the lighting, didn't we? Generally.
Yeah, it was kind of. This lighting was dark in parts. There's another film which. We'll go into that one till next. Well, sorry, my memory is pretty shocking.
Like it wasn't just obviously like they utilized shadow and light and all the rest of it. 100% get that, but there were points where it was just like you just couldn't see what was happening.
Yeah,
and I wondered at one point if maybe that was like actually a cinema fuck up.
Because there was a slight issue with the cinema, the subtitles, because they had the screen. It was on the IMAX screen, but
yeah,
basically what happened was the subtitles, you could only kind of see the top half.
Yeah,
because
you had to kind of just work it out a little bit, and you could,
and that went on for about 30 minutes until somebody obviously said to the projectionist, dude, you need to kind of.
The thing is that actually in cinemas, I know this because I used to work in one, they don't have projectionists anymore, it's all automatic. Someone will have just set it up wrong, pressed the button, and fucked off to whatever else they need to do, and it just runs automatically. It just goes by itself.
Okay.
So it's evident that, yeah. And this is what I was like, maybe that, I never did that when I worked at my job. Like that was never my thing that I did. That was always the manager's. But like, I wonder if maybe, I don't know how that stuff works, but I don't know if maybe like the digital copy was maybe a bit darker by accident, or like the way that it was set up in the actual cinema was maybe done, because it was like that a little bit, as we said, for the next one too. And I started to think, oh, maybe it's actually the cinema done it instead, because I've got my laptop up right now. I'm on the IMDb page, and it's got the trailer running silently on my screen, and it's perfect lighting.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm wondering if maybe, so I'm going to kind of give it some slack for that. And I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt that it was a cinema technical fuck up as opposed to bad lighting.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
But yeah, it was very kind of mid, wasn't it? It was so predictable.
The jump scares
were predictable. The story was predictable. The character arcs were predictable. The ending was predictable. It was so predictable. Like, it's a great popcorn, go to the cinema with your friends flick, but don't expect to see anything particularly new in regards to those things, because it's as paint by numbers as you can get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I'll take the mum was hot.
The mum was so fucking hot. Oh my good lord. And I want to say actually as well, the mum is rough. Anyway, in the back, isn't there a line where it's just like, your mum still looks like she's 25? And yeah, she does. But what I really liked about it was as you said in the summary, like there's a real interesting look at Hindi mythology.
Yeah.
And the sort of diverse representation that it's got going on there, and the stories of, you know, people who have come over from different countries and different cultures and how they integrate into a Western culture, and that sense of identity loss and trying to work out who you are when you kind of are living in two different worlds. And that stuff I found infinitely interesting, and I thought that was really fresh and a really unless you are watching movies from that country, I haven't seen anything from that culture in mainstream cinema, like in horror.
That's true. From an American angle, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've seen several Indian films, like Thumbad.
Yeah, but that's an Indian film, but it's set in India, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, that's right, yes.
Whereas this one is like, it's a look at the two cultures colliding. And also as well, just like the fact that, you know, a film like that, you might be able to find that somewhere on a streaming site if you're specifically looking for it. This is getting a widescreen cinema release.
Yes.
You know, and I haven't seen these cultures being represented to that level before in horror. I'm not saying that we don't have any culture representing,
but
specifically
right.
Indian culture and Hindu culture, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's really cool, and I'm totally here for that. I'm hoping it does well, if nothing else, but just so we can get a little bit more stories coming forward, more culture being shown. Like, I just hope that, you know, the stories that are coming forward are more original.
Yeah. No, we
the stories around it, you know?
We need more of that.
100%. But yeah,
more
like
cultural stuff. Sure.
Yeah, so that worked well for me. I thought the acting was good as well.
Yeah, acting was decent enough.
Yeah, acting was good. Hot mum. Can't go wrong. Cool monster, cool gore, cool mythology, just the plot surrounding
it was just a bit
very
basic.
Mediocre. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's a shame, but never mind. It was a nice acting scene. I'm glad it wasn't too good, because then, you know, you run the risk of the rest of the day not living up to it.
Yeah.
So
especially if you move on to the next film.
Oh, brother. Oh, wait, what are you going to give it?
6 out of 10.
Yeah? Okay. I am going to... I think my score was originally 6.5, but I'm going to give... some of that was to do with, like, the lighting and stuff, and I'm going to, as I said, give it for the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give it a 7.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, compared to the stuff I liked, there's not that much that I didn't like, but the stuff that I didn't like were quite big things.
Okay. Yeah, I just found it a bit too basic for me.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Need something else coming in, something a bit different.
Yeah. Right, next film.
Right, moving on to the next film, which is Creeping Death.
Yep.
Directed by Matt Samper. Starring Matt Samper.
Yeah.
Monique Parent, Scott Lee, and Delaine Lincourt.
Matt Samper wrote it as well, didn't it?
Yes.
His directorial debut baby.
And he actually came out at the beginning of the film.
He did.
And it was a really lovely little speech that he did.
So nice.
It was really quite heartwarming. He was like, you know, it's just amazing to see my film on such a great big screen. And
you just
in
used
the
to
UK.
See him with a little laptop, and and he involved yeah. his stepmom and like his mates, and
yeah.
he was just so humble,
like,
wasn't
he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just so sweet, and like and he like waved to his mum, like, "Hi, mum," you know.
Yeah,
it was really just
nice.
Too cute. It was so cute, which makes what we're about to say fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah. Unfortunately, hang on, let me give the blurb first.
All right, yeah.
Now, this was a world premiere, Creeping
was.
Death.
Well, and it's trying a directorial debut.
Yes, it was, indeed. While trying to enjoy a peaceful Halloween with his mother, Linda Garner, in brackets, cult icon Monique Parent, also the star of That's a Wrap, close brackets, Tim is paid a visit by his rambunctious, up-for-anything friends. Rambunctious?
Rambunctious, I mean, that's a word.
That's a word, never heard that one before.
Have you never heard of rambunctious?
No, never.
Have you not? Oh, it's a great word. It just means like ragtag, kind of a bit bolshy, a bit. I mean, that is a word to describe them. I've got a few others, but rambunctious is good as any.
Rambunctious. After reluctantly letting them inside the house, he becomes intertwined with their circumstances of their Halloween pranking. One, it turns out that has a broken... That doesn't make any sense. Has broken a sacred tradition between humans and otherworldly deities known as the Eos Sai. A callback to terror's birth in the mythology, lore, and atmospheric dread behind the Halloween traditions based in an ancient Celtic past.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I didn't get any of that.
Oh, I did.
Oh, did you do? Okay.
I didn't care about that.
Okay. Right. For me, this... It's
weird. Oh, hang on. Could we just say, though, full disclosure, we left after an hour.
Well,
so our opinions
Rob
are not... based on the whole
thing. It was a bit longer than that. It's only 93 minutes long. Rob left after an hour, and then we left about 10 minutes after.
Yeah. But in fairness, right, I was looking at the times of everything, and I hadn't really eaten that day apart from a little flapjack on the train. And we had been drinking, and I am, as I said, not 100% well. And so I was like, I really need to eat soon. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, there is going to be no time to eat until after like the next one, and that's going to lead us up until like nearly 5 o'clock. It's now like 1:30 or something, wasn't it? And I'm like, I cannot wait another like 4 hours or whatever, like until I can eat.
Yeah,
so I was do I like this film enough to forego eating? No. So I was
anyway,
made a decision.
Well, we did. For me, it was weird. It started off really well. I don't know. I really liked the beginning.
What, the pumpkin patch bit?
Yeah, I liked the intro. I liked the bit about, you know, he was at home and he was, spoiler alert,
It's not
really a spoiler. He's basically looking after his mum who had cancer.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I liked that. I felt... very heartfelt and very...
It was.
I don't know. I thought the setup was really good. Yeah. Then it just suddenly brought all the characters in, his rambunctious mates.
Word of the
and
day.
And it just suddenly just started to turn to
chaos.
Shit.
It was just chaos. The characters were chaos. The plot was chaos. The characters were supposed to be this sort of like... bunch of mates who took the piss out of each other, but they're all I kind of got the impression it was supposed to be one of those people that like those types of people where they all take the piss and they're, you know, not like, you know, they're not really someone you want to bring home to your parents, but equally they've got hearts of gold type thing, but actually they're just assholes. Like all of them are just cunts, and I did not like any of them. And
no, I didn't.
And the main guy Tim, nice but dim, like he so a English TV reference for those who don't get it. It's Paul Whitehouse show that was. Anyway, even he who's like the nice guy, he was so nice, he was just fucking boring. And he was just such a drip. And I was like, oh, mate.
He had no personality at all.
None.
He was just kind of like loitering around in the background. Going,
just letting his mates walk all over him. Yeah, exactly. And this girl who's like way out of his league, no offense, Matt, but like,
yeah,
you know, she is. Fine. And like, she's all like, oh, like, and she's clearly like making moves on him. It's like, in what fucking world? Like, okay, I'm not saying it is all about looks, but he doesn't have a personality to go with it. He hasn't, like, if he was charming and funny and sweet and nice and all the rest of it, then I'd be like, all right, yeah, fair enough. Because she's currently dating this, or this guy's trying to get on with her, who's an absolute asshole. I can understand the appeal if he was all of those things, but he's not. He's just a fucking drip. And no offense, yeah, but he's not that brilliant either.
Ouch. Yeah. No. He's not I get that. I get that. No, that's true. Sorry, Matt.
Sorry, Matt. Don't take it to heart. I'm an asshole.
So, and actually, my mate Rob. Because this was supposed to be a slasher.
Yeah.
Literally an hour in, and nothing's been killed.
Not one thing.
What the fuck?
Not one thing. There was like no gore.
Nothing. You know, and Rob was just like, I'm going to the pub. And he just left. And I just kind of laughed. And then I thought, okay, well, look, it's only half an hour left. And then literally 10 minutes later, he nudged me and goes, nothing's happening. I'm really hungry, should we go?
Yeah.
But we
did go out like the little side exit because we did feel quite bad about leaving on his little directorial debut. I didn't want him to see anyone leave and not come back. You know, because he's a person and he's clearly put so much heart into this film. Yeah. And I really don't want to be an arsehole about this film because he seems like such a nice guy. Like his character. But like the jokes sometimes were funny, but most of the time they're pretty infantile. You know, it really felt like a college film. And I don't mean a film set in a college. I mean like a film made by college students.
Yeah. Oh my God. And the lighting.
Oh, the lighting, yeah. But again, it might be the cinema.
Dude, I don't think I've ever seen a film which is so just in utter darkness.
We were literally like, I can't see anything.
I can't see what the fuck's going on. But you couldn't see what was going on. It was so dark.
It might have been the cinema.
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. No, because all the other films had.
Yeah, but they
no
might have sorted
issues.
It out by that point.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just.
You reckon it was just shit lighting?
Really shit lighting.
Like, I kind of. Do you know, I would like to see how his career progresses because I feel like this is him straight out the gate, right? There was a lot of heart in this film. You could see the passion. There was a lot of good ideas in there. The you know, the concept, the relationships between him and his mum and his dad and all this kind of stuff, that was really good. There was a lot of potential in there. It's just the execution wasn't good. So I want to see, like, you know, once he's got a bit more experience under his belt and he's maybe got a bit of bigger budget maybe and, like, you know, stuff like that going on.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what he's capable of because I feel like he's got something good about him. It's just he needs to fine tune it and he needs to hone his craft, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it was he clearly loves horror movies. He clearly loves Halloween culture. He clearly loves mythology because that film, even though it didn't have any gore and it did take a while to get going, you could see that there was all of that going on. Like in that, I just got this impression like he was all about that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. He had.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it did. It had this. It really had the setup.
Yeah.
For a really good Halloween horror movie.
Yeah.
But
it had
just
heart.
Kind of. Yeah, it did. But it just kind of. Yeah, just
floundered a bit, didn't it? Yeah.
Sorry. Right.
Sorry, Matt. But I would like to see what he does in future.
Okay.
What are you giving it?
Well, I can't give it a score because I didn't see it to the end. So
fair enough.
I'm going to refrain from giving it a score.
You know what? I'm going to do the same. And do you know what? Because I think it is going on platforms, isn't it? Didn't he say that it was going to?
I'm not sure. To be honest with you, I don't know. Somebody may pick it up or I may just go straight on to VOD. I don't know.
It may do. But if it is around, I'm not going to actively go out and watch it, but like, I would like to kind of just finish off the last half an hour just so I can like make a full.
Yeah. So you know what? So would I. We've got 25 minutes left or whatever.
Yeah. Like it's
to
worth
see the end.
That. It's just, if I hadn't been hungry or if we had like loads of time between the next two films, I would have stuck it out. But like, I just really needed something to eat. My sugar levels were dropping fast.
Yeah.
And you needed a pint.
And I needed a pint. Okay, right. On to the third film. This is Where the Devil Roams, directed by John Adams, Zelda Adams, and Toby Poser. With John Adams, Zelda Adams, and Toby Poser, amongst others.
Amongst lots of others.
This screening was sponsored by Sci-Fi Now.
And Lulu Adams. Lulu Adams, I think, was actually the main. Was she?
Yeah, oh, yeah, she had a brief section.
Oh, yeah, it, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sorry. So this is a European premiere. Fright Fest welcomes back the Adams family, who brought their acclaimed chiller, The Deeper You Dig, to us in 2019. Composed of John Adams, Toby Poser, and their daughter Zelda, the family of filmmakers also hit big in 2021 with Hellbender, and now unveil their latest creation set in the harsh Depression-era America. Exploring a dark, eerie journey filled with suspense, thrills, and chills, venture into a nightmare alley with the Adams Pack as they trace a family of murderous sideshow performers traveling around the world on the dying carnival circuit on a bloody search for eternal life.
Matt,
so there
what
we go.
Do we think of Where the Devil Roams?
What did we think? Well, it was both of our, actually all of us, it was our favourite film of the day.
Mate.
By far.
It's my favourite film of the year so far.
Well, I've got to say it is mine as well.
I will be real surprised if something comes in and swipes this off its top. It might. They might. You it don't might. Know. Year's not do. Out yet. Year's do. Not out yet. You know, we've got that Eli Roth Thanksgiving film coming up. You never know. You never know. You never know. But... ladies and gentlemen, and then and everyone in between, literally this film,
yeah, so good.
It's so good. Hard. I almost don't want to talk about it because I feel like
I know you mean
you just want to go in blind, so I'm going to try and keep my comments vague.
Okay, let's go vague as we can.
You start.
Okay. I'll be totally honest. Initially, we were in about a minute late, weren't we? We kind of crept in.
No, I was in on time.
All right, maybe it was me because I sneaked.
No, you needed the loo. You guys had gone to the loo, and I just made it in time because we were probably faff-assing about at the pub. Oh no, wasn't that? Oh no, we did the live afterwards. We were just faff-assing about, I think. Oh, we were eating. That was it. We were eating,
Then
it took ages to get our order in.
We came into this kind of black and white. There's this guy giving us like he's telling a tale, like a horror.
It's a poem.
Was it a poem?
It's a poem, yeah, but it's a horror.
Oh, okay.
Poem. It gave me fuck me, what's it called? What was that Coen Brothers anthology film that came out a couple of years ago?
No idea.
It's on Netflix. Fuck, I can't remember what it's called. But there's one of the stories in that has the guy who plays Dudley Dursley from Harry Potter in it. That setup gave me very much those vibes of like that carnival type storyteller, sort of, you know, misfits, kind of, you know, just what's the word? Like I don't want to say freaks because that's really awful, but that type of you know, misfits from society.
Carnies. It was just basically carnies.
Yeah, yeah. But he didn't have any legs, did he?
Oh, didn't he?
No, he didn't. But this is a fun fact, right? This guy who played him, he just like contacted him. He's like, I really want to be in your movie. And they wrote that whole intro bit just for him.
Yes, I knew that.
Fucking great.
I did know that. That's
really good.
So anyway, initially I thought, oh God. It's weird. I really didn't like that intro. I mean, I'll probably have to watch it again, having watched the film, and it would mean more.
But
at first I thought, oh shit, we're going to be in for something really
art house and
really art house.
I was so excited,
black and white, and I was like, oh no!
I was so excited. Like our reactions could not have been more opposite because that's exactly the sort of shit that I love, and I was laughing because I knew that's exactly the sort of shit that you hate.
However, the story got on at quite a pace, and. It is really quite brutal.
Yeah.
Really, it's really so quite funny. Brutal and gory, but it's funny with it.
So fucking funny.
I mean, my mate Rob said it's very macabre.
Yeah.
And that's perfect the perfect word for it. It is very macabre. The whole story. Mm-hmm. It's a great story. It's
really original.
It's just really unique.
Great visuals on it as well. If you watch stuff like, you know, like the DP Dig and stuff, they really love playing around with camera angles and lighting and things. And this, they were like fucking kids in a candy shop, you know? Like, you could just tell that they were just going for it.
Oh, my God. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I think this is visually one of the best films I've ever seen.
It's phenomenal. Absolutely.
Literally, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the bit, I don't know if you felt this, but there's a bit, you know, when there's like the First World War bits when the germs are coming through the trees, all that kind of bit. And I was just like,
I can't remember that bit.
Can't you remember that bit?
No.
Yeah, because John's character, he was like the soldier.
Oh, shit. Yes. No, I do remember. Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah. Fuck.
It's
yeah.
really like, yeah. Hell, really visually, really impressive.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, no, visually is really, really impressive. Yeah.
And it's just, and as well, like, you have these sort of, this just most bizarre family dynamic with what they do and how they operate, but they're so likeable as well.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that's the Addams Family kind of coming through, like their own personalities and things coming through. These, I mean, then, you know, they don't obviously go and do the things that they do in their films or anything like that, but like,
yeah,
just, you know, but like, but there's a warmth to those people that they bring to their characters, and they can be doing the most heinous things, but you still root for them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's such a unique and such a, not whatever, not a unique, but such a difficult thing to achieve. And when it's done well, like that, it's rare, you know? And I just, Toby Poser's character, I can't remember her character's name in it, but Jesus fuck me Christ, there was just something so delightful about her character. And there's this one point where there was this really funny cut, and I'm not gonna, and that, I mean like the edit, and I'm not gonna say anything about it, but I was in the process of taking a drink, and I'm so glad there was no one spat in front of me. I spat laughed. I literally I was so grateful no one was sat in front of me.
We're expecting it.
It's so unexpected. And I just got it it just came at the wrong moment, just as I had literally just taken a sip, and it went all over me. It went all over the seats in front of me.
Is that when the person was speaking a certain language?
No, I can't say. I'll tell you later. No, it was just
Oh, wait, it was.
And then you just see her expression suddenly, and you're like, oh God. And then, but you still don't expect what's coming next. Like, you think you know, but you don't know. And I feel like this film is just, that's what it does. You think you know, you
and
don't.
And then it suddenly flipped,
You have no idea. Don't even presume to think that you know what this film is doing, because you have no fucking clue.
Toby's character's kind of like Kathy Bates. In
like a little bit, like in Misery.
In a bit, just
a little bit, like very pleasant, but fucking don't go on the wrong side.
She can flip, but don't fuck with her.
Jesus, and like it just takes the tiniest. Oh my God, yeah. I'm just remembering more about that scene, and it's so fucking hilarious. And I told them when I was speaking to her and John, like, I told them about the fact that I spat my drink everywhere, and they literally, both of them, tipped their head back to laughing, and they were so delighted with that response, because I think that's exactly the kind of response that they're wanting from people. Just like, holy shit, what the fuck? And that they won the what that movie that it won what the best what the fuck moment of the festival.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
And I swear to God, if anything else had won, I'd be writing a damn letter.
Was that the one?
Oh, no, it wasn't that bit. It was the other bit where everyone's like, what? And I don't want to say anything else. But I reckon you probably know which bit I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and at the very end. Oh.
But like, yeah, so I, yeah, and I literally, if I saw that and I was like, damn right, I don't give a fuck what else is entered into this fucking festival. If that didn't win, I'd be writing a fucking letter.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, is there anything that didn't work for you on it?
No.
No.
The score was amazing.
That gave me real Queens of the Stone Age vibes, like real like early days Queens, like their debut album style, like that real bassy, gritty, heavy riff, like kind of
that's very good. So we highly recommend that you see Where the Devil Rests.
Nah, I wouldn't bother, mate. Just fucking not waiting anywhere for time. No, absolutely, everyone go check out this film, even if like black and white movies aren't your thing, because I was telling Scott McKenzie about it, and he was like Scott McKenzie, if anyone doesn't know, he kind of like jokingly dubs himself like a film racist because he doesn't like black and white movies, I'm like, dude, neither does Matt usually. Fucking loved it. Like, don't do yourself a disservice by assuming anything about this film or thinking, ah, that's not for me. Because I can guarantee you, if you are a film fan and you are a horror fan, there will be something in this film that you will fucking adore. Guaranteed.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure.
Oh, I literally can't shout about it. I've got to shout about it though, because otherwise I'm going to spoil shit. Right. Score.
Score. Right. On my initial watch, I'm going to give it 8 out of 10. So, you know what my scoring is like. I'm pretty harsh. So, yeah.
8 out of 10. I mean, I always go by, well, you gave Alien an 8 out of 10. So,
I did. I'm harsh. I am harsh.
We know this. It's all good. We love you for it. Yeah, like anything 8 and above for Matt, that's like, fuck yeah. So, I have I put this on Letterboxd? I can't remember. I gave it a 5 out of, or if I haven't, I will be giving it a 5 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Yeah. I don't know if it quite translates to a 10 out of 10, but I'm quite comfortable giving it a 9.5.
This is an interesting thing.
And it could maybe over time, do you know what I mean?
If I was going on Letterboxd, I would be giving it 4.5, maybe 5 stars. Does that make sense? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder whether we should just go with 5 stars instead of 10, because like
it means I'll be less harsh.
It means you'll be less harsh, and also there's less wiggle room. Like, is it like a 7 or is it an 8 or is it a 6? Because this film, like, I can't fault it, and I genuinely think like it's going to be one of those films where over time you're like, you know what, fuck it, upgrade 10. You know, it's like we watched it once, the buzz of a festival. Meeting them as well for me, you know, it all kind of becomes part of that overall experience and connotation association. So I want to kind of let it breathe a bit. I want to watch it again. You know, it's coming out on platforms in November. Probably Shudder will pick them up, being that they've had all the
I read somewhere. It's definitely coming out. Who's got it? I don't think it's Shudder.
Is it Prime? Because Prime have got DPU Digging that on theirs now.
I don't think so. I have a feeling it's Screenbox, but don't quote me on that.
Oh, really?
Or who?
How they manage it?
It could either be Screenbox, Tubi, or Hulu.
Oh, which means if it's on Hulu, it'll be Disney Plus. Oh my God, can you imagine this fucking film on Disney Plus?
Anyway, Lots. Not sure. I'm sorry.
It is coming out in November somewhere on the platform Haven, there is. I want to crack it on again, you know, on the, like, maybe a smaller screen, comfort my own home, none of the external sort of, you know, what's the word? Fucking,
I know what you mean.
Fucking word. Tell me what the word is, Matt.
Like external influences.
Influences. That's it.
Yes.
Well done. You know, but I would be truly surprised if I can only see myself loving it more on a second watch, because I'll notice more things. Like, you know, like you said, like the monologue at the beginning, I'm sure has so much more, it'll resonate so much more now I've seen the film before, kind of thing. And, you know, I'll notice all of the little bits and all the little nods and all the little trick of lighting and whatever else, you know what I mean? So
we recommend it.
We do. We thoroughly recommend it. Right.
Right.
We've gushed over that. We fucking got ourselves well good and moist.
We did. We were moist with that one.
Yeah, definitely some arterial sprays going on there.
next up, we have New Life.
New Life.
By John Rossman, starring Sonia Walger, or Walger, Hayley Erin, Tony Amendola. Ayana Berkshire.
Yeah, that's probably about all the important ones, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's probably all the important, really important ones, isn't it?
I should think so. John Rossman actually came out at the beginning and gave a little spiel and said, yeah, this film is horror. This film is definitely horror. And as soon as he said that, I thought, oh, fuck, this isn't going to be horror, is it?
I'm over the optimist. I'm like, no, give it a chance.
No, this is horror. Okay. This is a European premiere from the writer-director John Rossman, a deadly cat-and-mouse game based in the Pacific Northwest. Elsa is a brilliant fixer assigned to capture a mysterious woman on the run. As the snare of the pursuit tightens, Elsa must fight her own secret battle with the deadly disease, ALS, to stay on top of the explosive case before it reaches an apocalyptic endgame. As the two stories interlink, the stakes ratchet up and their journeys uncover the deep truths of what it means to be alive. And that can only come through the power of acceptance and hope.
Nice. Pretty good summary, that. It's almost like...
Yeah, well, actually, it's a good summary.
As opposed to IMDb.
Yeah, no, that actually basically reminded me of the whole film. So I actually know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
So, okay. Go on, you go.
There you go.
Okay. Right.
Right.
And we're back. right, New Life. So basically, I don't want to give spoilers, but we kind of have to.
I think with this one, we can give a little bit, but just as long as it's just the preface of the plot, not like stuff that happens at the end and shit.
Okay, so basically this girl, right, I can say this, can't I? Has
if
this
not, I'll cut it out, we'll see.
has a...
She got, yeah, we can say that. It's a contagion.
She's got a contagious thing. And basically anybody she interacts with dies pretty quickly. Swiftly. Like within a couple of hours. So yeah, basically she's being tracked down by this agent who's like a like FBI type agent.
Yeah, well, she's a fixer, isn't she? But she's kind of, it's like CIA type thing.
Yeah, she basically tracks people down. She's like the best in the game.
Yeah, the best of the best. And she's been particularly hired because they didn't want it to be basically COVID. And this is obviously a very post-COVID film. They didn't want it to be like this widespread panic. They wanted to keep it very close to home, very neat, very just fix this, you know?
Take care of it.
And it was because it's a pharmaceutical company that hired them. So they're private.
That's
They're being privately hired. So it changes the dynamic to what we would normally see should there be like quote unquote an outbreak. And I wouldn't say that this is an outbreak. It's not like a film like 28 Days Later or anything like that. It's not like, oh my God, the whole world's different. The world is continuing on exactly as it's always been. It's just this one character. We don't know what she's fleeing from. We have an idea. We don't necessarily know everything. And we follow her. But then what I found interesting about this film, what we don't often see, is the fixer, the person who's sort of like, you know, hunting her, for lack of a better term. Normally in these types of films, they're very like two-dimensional. They're very, or even one-dimensional. You know, they're just like, I've got a mission and I'm going to succeed. Whereas we actually see this person as a person.
Actually, a person, yes.
A real person with her own shit going on.
Struggling, yeah.
And really struggling, yeah. And she's not a bad person either. She's not, you know, she has sympathy and she's empathetic, she's compassionate. However, she understands the big picture and what she has to do to save lives. But at the same time, she's struggling with her own health issues, which are much more sort of, you know, realistically based. I suppose actually contagious are fairly. No, we can't really say that after COVID, but do you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, she suffers with what is it, ASL, which is like a breakdown of her neuro system or something, like
ALS.
Right. Oh yeah, ASL is age, sex, location for the MSN chats back in the day. Fucking knew it was something. She doesn't have that. She's not, you know, rocking up a chat room for a 64-year-old pretending to be a 21-year-old. And so we see this real parallel between her struggles with this, you know, very affecting, very slow degenerative disease and illness.
But the girl doesn't know she's got it.
But versus this other girl who has this very quick thing, but she doesn't know that she's got it. She can't see the effects that she's causing. And it's this really great for the, you know, these characters don't ever really meet, you know, like, really. Yeah. And yet, it really has such a finesse when it sort of demonstrates their connection.
Yeah.
And how they're linked.
I agree.
I really enjoyed this film. I would say my only gripe is they give an explanation for it, but I just don't buy it. I don't believe that anyone who had a condition like hers, like the fixer, like Elsa, she would ever be told to go in the field. I just don't buy it. Like,
with her being so ill,
yeah. Like, I'd be like, no, hon, you take your retirement, you've earned it. Sit the fuck down. We've got someone else we can. Do you know what I mean? You're saying that she might be the best of the best, but you're telling me she's the only one? Get fucked.
Well, no. They sent her in because they knew that she was ill.
Yeah, and I just don't buy that.
Okay. No, that's fair enough.
That's fair enough. And that's quite an integral part.
Anyway, so.
I mean, pharmaceutical companies are cunts, you know. Hey, big pharma. But like, I just don't buy it. And it's such an integral part of the plot. Like, it's, you know, if that doesn't happen, then the whole film kind of falls apart if we don't have this character in the field. And what they hang it on is just very loosey-goosey to me.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I really like this film. What do you want to say about it, Matt? Because I know what you're going to say.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
Well, I know what you're going to say at some point.
No, I'm not going to say that.
You see, I know. I don't do it.
It runs parallel. Okay, it's not really a horror movie.
Yeah, I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it. I knew you were going to say that shit. I fucking knew it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because the director's like, it's a horror movie.
I wouldn't class this as a horror film.
Not really.
Normally, I am normally real, you know, I'm generous with that shit. And I wouldn't class this as a horror film.
It's horror adjacent for sure.
Yeah, like it deserves it. If we were going to talk about this, I wouldn't say it was off-brand for our show.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be sat here calling it, this is a horror film.
No. No, for sure.
It's a good film. It's a good character study.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the story. I thought it was really well. I thought it was really well done. The story was well told. It was directed well. You know,
good lighting.
Good lighting.
We could see
it. Had a good pacing to it as well. It didn't lag at all.
No.
I mean, it's quick in and out. It's only 85 minutes, so it just kind of came in and did what it needed to do. So I'm thankful for that.
I also feel like with these sort of like, it's not post-apocalyptic, but you know, with these sort of contagious posts, they are always like 2 hours plus long. And like, sometimes it's fine. You got a movie like Mad Max. Yeah, you need all that time. But some movies just like, we didn't need half an hour of that middle bit. And I feel like,
yeah, a load of nonsense.
They did that so well.
Yeah, it cut out all the nonsense. It basically got in, got out, and did what it needed to do. Mm. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a decent film.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I really liked it.
Yeah, like the acting was good. No problems. No problems.
See, now I'm like thinking about my scores and I'm like,
Because
I know what I want to give it. But it deserves, it's much, in my opinion, much better than...
I would like to give all films 10 out of 10, but it's not going to happen.
No, I think, all right, for me, I feel like this deserves to be a 7.5.
Yeah, that's a very fair score.
I've just given It Lives Inside seven, and I feel like this is a much better put together movie.
It is a better movie.
So I might bump my It Lives Inside back down to a 6.5, its original score. Sorry.
I think that's more.
Yeah, suitable. I feel better about that, I think. Yeah. All right. It Lives Inside 6.5. Creeping Death, we can't really score. Weather, Devil Roams, fucking all the stars. And then this one, a 7.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. I'm going to give New Life 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, my scores, that's a good score.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty good. Yeah, fucking fair.
So, yeah, no, we would recommend that.
Yeah, we would recommend that. But don't go in thinking that you're going to get blood and guts and gore and stuff. There's some gore. There is some gore.
There is
and
some.
Obviously the nature of the film in itself, what it's dealing with, is like a very realistic type of scary. But it's not a scary film. It's not a gory film. It's not, you know, it's more of a drama with some gore.
Yeah.
Right.
Finally. The last film that we could see, because there was one more called That's a Wrap. None of us saw that.
I just couldn't be asked.
So this one's called Faceless After Dark, directed by Raymond Wood.
Yep.
Starring Jenna Cannell. Or Canel.
Isn't it Canal? We should work that out.
K-A-N-E-L-L.
It's Canal. Yeah.
Jenna Cannell.
She the star of Terrifier.
Cannell. Indeed. Danny Kang, Danielle Lynn, Michael Aaron. This is a world premiere. And it states, following her breakout success as the star of a killer clown horror flick, Bowie struggles to capitalize on his success. But when she's suddenly held hostage by an unhinged fan posing as that same killer clown, horror becomes her reality as she fights to survive the night, escape before he completes his sinister plan to recreate the film's fatal plot.
Right.
Masquerading as a home invasion thriller before switching gears to a grisly, vitriolic feminist revenge fantasy, a clever expose on how the anonymity of the internet empowers ill-intentioned, abusive people with the ability to show their true colours.
Yeah, now this is a film I really don't want to talk much about, because I feel that this is truly best gone in blind. And they said this before, because they had Raymond Wood and Jenna Cannell, they did a bit of a like an intro and a bit of a chat beforehand. And they said, like, we don't want to say too much about it, just, you know, it's not what you think it is, and all this. So first, from the get, I was really intrigued to see where this was going. And I actually forgot that there was something else to expect, because it, I don't want to say it takes a while to get there, because it's definitely not slow. I don't mean it in a way, I'm like, hurry up and get to the point. It wasn't like that at all, but it just, I was just quite like immersed in what was happening on screen. It kind of went out of my mind that there was something else to come. And when it happened, I was like, oh, all right. You know, kind of thing. And I don't want to hint to like any more than what we've got.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
You know, so it's going to be a bit of a vague review, but that's for your benefit, because if you do get to watch this film, really try to go in as blind as you can. It's definitely.
Yeah, I had to leave after about an hour because I had to get train back. So again, I can't give a full score. What I can say, of what I saw, I enjoyed. I like the, I can't really say that because that's, that kind of gives things away. I like the way it, you know, how the film operates and how it takes a turn, through saying.
Yeah.
And that's one way of saying it.
It sets you up for it to be the very one type of film. And then all of a sudden.
Admittedly, I was a bit like, okay, I wasn't seeing that happening. I wasn't expecting that at all. And I didn't quite understand at that point why the hell it was happening.
Yeah.
Really. I was a bit like, okay. Yeah, I was a bit miffed
at
that
stage.
It's
almost an anticlimax. But then what you, for me, it felt almost like a bit like an anticlimax. But then as things continue, what I then took from it is like, no, this the calm before the storm. And fuck, this is a storm. Okay. You know, like, and so where I was kind of a little bit like, okay, that's interesting. I was like, okay. All right, we needed that for this. And we needed that for this build up. And we needed that for these things to then, you know, like,
okay,
you know what I mean? And I don't know whether you've got all of that because you obviously you had to leave halfway through.
Yeah.
But by the end, I was just like, okay,
the pieces are all falling into place.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that things escalate and the way that things develop, and there's so it's such a visual film. And it really tells, I know this sounds obvious because it's a film, but it really does tell its story visually. Like there's not a lot of script and there's not a lot of plot, but the message and the themes behind it are so strong that it doesn't need all of that stuff to carry the film. Like it's perfectly demonstrated through what you're seeing and how certain characters interact. And the script is important. Like the part of the script that there is they don't waste time on unnecessary script, basically. And what you get is what you need. But like you don't need a lot because the rest of it is just I don't want to say obvious because I don't mean it that way. It's just
self-explanatory.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, along those lines.
Good shout. I mean, the only thing I can really say from what I saw, good lighting, good sound.
For our show. Good lighting, bad lighting.
Yeah, no, this one had good
lighting.
The colours
were amazing. The colours were amazing.
Yeah, good use of colours. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Fucking soundtrack. Oh, fucking
good soundtrack. Yeah.
Real fucking good soundtrack. And it was actually that when you guys, you know, do get a chance to watch it, pay attention to the music, because the music has its own evolution that sort of ties in with this sort of character and story arc going on, and it's very, very interesting. So this is a very deliberate film. There is nothing in here that's wasted, I would say, and I massively appreciate that. And it's not even a very long film. It's an hour 26.
Yeah,
and they use every single moment, and by the time you get to the end, you're just fuck, you know, like fucking hell. I think that's kind of all I really want to say on it.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I just feel like but the gore's great, the effects are great, the acting's really great. As we know, I'm not necessarily the biggest Terrifier fan. As you know, listen to the episode if you haven't already. There are some elements that I like. I like the gore, I like the comedy and stuff like that. But Jenna Connell, who starred in Terrifier, she played Tara, she's obviously starring in this, but she also wrote it. And there's definitely homages and stuff at the beginning to Terrifier. And there's even like a thank you to Damien Leone at the end in the credits.
Nice.
So there's obviously definitely like a bit of a synergy going on there, a bit of a relationship thing going on there with the filmmakers of this film and the filmmakers of Terrifier, you know, Jenna Connell notwithstanding. So, you know, but like I feel like this has the energy of Terrifier, but it's smart. It's probably the best way I can describe it.
Okay, so
I feel
fair
like
enough.
If you like Terrifier, I think you'll probably get a lot from this, but at the same time, it's not what you expect, and I feel like it's going to really divide people.
Yeah, I just need to. Yeah, I need to rewatch it or certainly fill in. Actually, no, I'll rewatch it from the start.
I think you should get the full impact.
So hopefully, it does come out, and we can all.
Definitely coming out. Yeah, it's. I think it's going to be around Halloween time.
Cool.
It's going to be something like that. It's doing all the festival runs at the moment. There's festivals still going on, you know, all the way up till like, you know, October and Halloween and stuff, obviously. So it's doing all of that at the moment. And I think it's doing pretty well. Like the reception I've like looked at and stuff, it's it seems to be getting a very good response. It's got a 7.9 currently on IMDb.
Jesus, that's really good. Really good.
I mean, it's, they've only had 10 reviews, but like...
Okay.
But even so,
that's still...
That's a really high in for such a new film, I feel. Yeah. And especially on IMDb, because like it's everyone's arsehole and their uncle on IMDb. So, you know, I feel like if you're going to go in strong, that'll probably come down. But I still feel it's going to be quite a strong innings
once
it balances out. Nice. But it is going to divide people. People, I think, are either going to really respond to it or they're going to really fucking hate it.
Let's see. Come October.
Wait. Yeah, for sure. So you haven't really got a score for this because you didn't complete it.
Yeah, I can't score it. But what was your score for that one?
My score. This is my second favourite film of the festival. And I'm giving it an 8.5.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those films, both this and Where the Devil's Roam were just taking it in turns, just like tag teaming in my head, you know, like I was just constantly for days thinking about these films and thinking about all the different stuff, but like, especially with this one's got a lot to say. It's stuff that really resonates with me personally. And this as well, it's got a lot of humor in it. There's a lot of humor in it as well, which I think is needed. Because the subject matter and the themes of it are very, very heavy. So I feel like they work that comedy in well to give it that levity. So just want to add that in. But I just haven't really stopped thinking about these two films for the last couple of weeks. And I know, shocking, bored everyone to fucking tears talking about them. Oh, fuck, we forgot in a minute. Right, 8.5 for this. That was the last movie that we saw. One other thing real quick. We forgot to mention, guess what we got to see? Everybody, not Matt. Matt was there, he knows.
Don't know, can't remember.
You remember? We had to stay outside.
Oh, Christ. Yes, of course.
That was fucking cool.
Yeah, we saw the premiere trailer for Saw.
No, we didn't. We saw an exclusive clip that hadn't been seen by anyone outside of 6 executives.
Oh.
God, you don't pay attention, do you? God. But there was this whole thing where no one was allowed to go in the screen and they had like all of these like security everywhere and it was all real like fucking hush hush and shit and they didn't tell us what it was. They'd like, it was all like, right, just fucking watch. And they had like night vision cameras and stuff to make sure no one was filming it. It was all fucking like Men in Black style, right? And then it came up and it was that classic Saw setup. And I don't want to say too much because I don't know if we're allowed. We didn't sign anything.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
we're allowed to say that.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything that happens though, just for spoilers, because I know there are some people who are very excited about this film, and I don't want to spoil it for them. But basically, there's a scene. It has this real classic setup. It's got you can just tell a Saw trap. You can just look at any, you might not have even seen the film, but you know that's a Saw trap. So it's very much that setup. You had the, do you want to play a game, and like all of that kind of thing, and like all that kind of stuff, and everyone just lost their shit. Didn't they? Like, everyone was just going fucking nuts. And then there's like this like hush silence while we were watching. We're like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? I'm not gonna say what happens, but like it was pretty fucking cool and pretty fucking gory. And actually, I wasn't that jonesed for this film, but actually seeing that, I'm a little bit excited now. And afterwards, everyone was like, woo, yeah! And it was like proper. This is how I imagine what it's like going to the cinema in America. Everyone hollering and whooping and stuff like that. But it was such an energy and everyone was so fucking hyped after that, weren't they?
Yeah, no, that was good.
It was really cool. I felt very like special and important getting to see like an exclusive clip. And he literally said like literally no one outside the studio, has been like 6 people outside of the cast and director and stuff who have seen this clip. Like this is an exclusive. And everyone's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it was, you just couldn't help but feed that energy, you know, like, it's fucking great. So I'm actually quite excited about Saw 10 and I'm actually going to try and go through, because I still haven't seen the last few. I saw Book of Spiral, as we know, because it was in my bottom 5 of last year. But I'm actually going to try and go through the others and get through the last few because I haven't seen, like, I think I've seen past 7 because I kind of got bored by about 5. But I feel like that was years and years ago and I feel like I might have a different appreciation now. Maybe not, but I also still want to watch them all and go through them before I go through number 10.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So that was our Fright Fest.
2023, baby.
2023, done. done.
Yeah, although I'm going to try and go see the Halloween one. I don't think I'll go do both days, but I'm actually flying from Heathrow on the Sunday. So it's actually fairly convenient for me to already be in London. And, you know, what better thing to do than just go see a bunch of horror films? So I might go on the Saturday, but I don't think you can. Can you?
No, I'm still on my cruise, so I shall not be around.
Oh, Muffin, your life is so hard.
I'm not going to be able to do my 31 of October either, so.
Oh, my gosh. Am I going to achieve it when you're not?
Maybe.
Oh. I have to get a few innings, actually, and because, that would be really perfect, actually, because I'll get a bunch in on Saturday, because I am flying all day Sunday and then Monday I'll probably be sleeping. And then Tuesday I've got a thing going on. Tuesday's Halloween and we're going out. So I'm going to Canada and we're going to out on a ghost tour that night. So I don't know whether we're going to get to watch many. I don't think I'm going to get watch many horror movies Sunday through to the last day. So it'll be cool if I can get something on a Saturday. So I'll see if I can do that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I might do like a little Brucey bonus episode myself if I do. But I've got to think about look at money and logistics of it all and stuff. So we'll see.
Watch this space.
Speaking of watch this space, we're not going to say too much.
No.
But we have got some pretty exciting things coming up on the show over the next couple of months.
Yes, indeed.
Pretty fucking exciting.
Yeah.
And we just thought we'd use this little bonus episode to, I don't want to say announce it, because we're not going to tell you yet. We're going to keep you moist, keep you wanting more, give you a bit of a teasing.
Bit of a tease, teasers.
But we will be sort of announcing pretty soon what we've got coming up. We've just got to dot some I's and cross some T's and double check some stuff. But if you, just stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
You're going to want it. You're going to want all of it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Alrighty.
And please don't try and guess on the page or anything. Is it this? Because I will just not respond.
We just won't.
I'm going to completely just ignore it because I'm not. Yeah. So, yeah. Pretty exciting stuff. And, yeah, hopefully we gave you a good little insight of what to look out for. Maybe not what not to look out for.
Hopefully, it's a mixed selection, but hopefully you can pick some bits out of those.
Yeah, and as we've said, we're only a couple of bozos chatting shit, so we're not going to yuck someone else's yum. If you go and watch one of these films and you think it's the best fucking thing since sliced bread, fucking good, great.
You're using my lines now.
Yeah, I know. And Dan is. We're all using them. Hey.
Everyone's using it. Don't yuck my yum.
Yeah, we're not going to yuck your yum. That's going to be our thing. That's our little show thing.
Yeah.
Dan can't use it. Fuck you, Dan. No, I'm joking. we always want to support horror. So please, everyone, go out and watch these films, regardless of what we say, just because it does support the community. And we want to see more representation. We want to see more indie stuff. We want to see more weird and wonderful things. And, the only way that happens is if we go out and support it. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. That's it.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you very much, as always. If you want to tell your friends where to find us, we can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Stitch is shut down now, so that's a load of shite. We're on, there's something else which is on the links which I've added and I can't actually fucking remember now. But we're on a couple of those odd little quirky ones that are hanging out in the corner. They're in the kitchen of the party, not quite in with the mainstream, but kind of cool.
Enough.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Good to be there. Happy to be there.
And if you want to interact with us at all, we can be found on Facebook under facebook.com/hedonismpod. And our Instagram, you can follow us at hedonism_podcast. Or you can email us at hedonismpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to reach out personally to us, you pop us an email, let us know your thoughts, give us any feedback, I don't know, anything. Make your own comments on films, whatever you like. We're open book. We're quite happy
to accept.
I mean, any attention is good attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please. And then, yeah, and as always, you know, if you've got 30 seconds, please go give us a rating on Apple and Stitcher, and oh, not Stitcher, but Spotify, wherever you listen to, please give us a rating, preferably 5-star, thank you, please. And, you know, if you want to drop us any words and reviews and stuff, we would hugely appreciate it, because
absolutely,
we're looking a little bit lonely out there. And we know we do have some really fucking awesome listeners.
We do.
We really do. I love our little community online.
Community, it's great.
Yeah.
All right.
That's about it, really. Oh, and also as well, real quick, we are trying to sort out September, but because of time zones and schedules and the fact that there's five of us, we're trying to organise with all of our different shit going on. We're doing our best. We're working on it. We had some dates, and then shit's fallen through due to completely no one's, like, totally unforeseen circumstances. There's some personal stuff going on. So we're trying to rearrange, but we're working on it. But we haven't forgotten about our main show. And we are going to bring you 6 September, or like awful October, or there's going to be something where there's disgusting, gross things.
Oh my god, October.
There we go. I mean, if nothing else, you know, but like, it is coming. And so is Matt,
literally
over the mum in It Lives Inside,
for sure.
Well, yeah, right, that's it, I think, isn't it?
It is, it
bosh,
is.
Bosh, bosh.
All right, guys, take care.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
Eternal darkness of not so spotless mind. I love. This is John from Where the Devil Roams.